work with Miles Okazaki, where I share a few things I've picked up over the years as a guitarist and composer in New York City. If you like what you hear, you could go over to Patreon and become a member for a very small fee and have access to video versions of all of these episodes and others that aren't included here. Download materials such as sheet music and exercises, and have the ability to ask me questions directly and request topics for new episodes. This program focuses on the guitar, but goes into many other areas, so there should be something for everyone. And the show starts now. All right, welcome back. Continuing on the Charlie Christian Stompin' at the Savoy solo from 1941. We're starting on the second chorus now. So up until now, we've had... Let's look at that. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot going on there, but it's pretty hip, actually. You know, after all that stuff from the first chorus, you know, he starts off kind of teasing it a little bit, like what's going to happen. But okay, let's get that part. So where is it? Is it there, or is it even... Always the question on guitar, where is it? You know, what's fingering? My opinion is that it's here, because this is where we keep doing this D flat. Either here or here. But then, what comes next? So, he's... That's no good there at all, up in this ninth position, but it's pretty good here. What about down here? Could be there also. Kind of weird. It requires some switcheroo with the fingerings. Here it's simple. You just keep your hand in the same place. And again, third finger for that, I'm guessing. For the A flat. You know, some sources, including Barney Kessel, say he played mostly with downstrokes. But I find this quite hard to believe that this could be played with downstrokes. I mean, if anybody out there can play this line all with downstrokes and get it to swing, I will be amazed. Even that bu bu bu, that, see how the articulation is on that? To me, that sounds like down up. I mean, you could do it with two downstrokes, but it just doesn't feel... To me, that sounds like down, up, down. I believe that he played the strong notes with downstrokes mostly, but I find it hard to believe that he played everything with downstrokes. That just doesn't make sense. This... He's accenting those high notes. And if you play it here, I'm playing downstrokes for all those accented notes. I mean, try and play that with all downstrokes. It's just really hard. I don't know. So much easier with moving the string, the pick back and forth. So. That's my theory. I think he's got some upstrokes involved there. What's that? I think that's probably there. I mean, it could be. But then you got to go. That's no good. Nah, that's not going to be there. So you probably get the C natural with the first finger. And then 3-2-1. And you kind of outlining. Just outlining an A-flat 7. It almost sounds like, like it's going there early. Or even, almost sounds like a B-flat minor. I mean, that's what it is in terms of the notes. Again, but that little double. See, but that short. It sounds like you're taking the finger off the note. To me, that doesn't sound like two downstrokes. I mean, maybe, but it feels much more natural to me to do an upstroke and take the finger off. So the first part of the chorus is of the 8 bars, that is what is it? All right, yeah. No, it could be there. Nah. Oh. Is it upbeat there or downbeat? Da, 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 da. So, Oh, that's interesting. Check it out. He does the same phrase at the beginning. I never noticed that. Da, 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 da. That he does at the beginning of the thing. Right? He does it twice. So he goes. It's like a little mirror image phrase. I never noticed that. That's crazy. Okay. And then the next, he starts with the new idea. The next chorus. I mean, the next 4 bars. Okay. So what is this? I think this is. My feeling is that that's all on one string, because he's been playing around with this B string a lot, like. Now it could be here, but switching strings. Which you have to do if you play it there or if you play it here. Either way that you do it, it's a bit of a awkward picking thing. Because he gets to the note really fast. And it's so clean. I feel like it's got to be on one string. You know, if you do it on two separate strings, you might have a string ringing or overlapping or something. I feel like that's got to be. Plus, it feels good. I'm just using first finger and third finger. Right? He goes, the second part, it's all this. And he does it again. What's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of this different note? To me, that means dominant. When he goes to the G flat instead of the F, and then he goes. And he hits an E natural there. I think you can hear it. Yeah. Okay, so to me, that's definitely, he's giving the sound of the dominant, but just with one note. He doesn't need to outline the whole dominant like he has in other points. Like, he doesn't need to do all this. He can just hit that one note, which is part of that sound, but it's just the one note. This reminded me of something. This reminded me of something that Coltrane does on a certain solo. This is John Coltrane in March of 1960. 19 years later. This is with Miles Davis in Olympia Theater in Paris. And he does this thing. You have to switch to B flat, but they're playing rhythm changes. They're playing Olio. And he does this thing where he's just doing this one note thing. And it's like going between the dominant and the tonic by playing like a D and an E flat, the third and the fourth degree of the scale. You notice this is the third degree of the scale. That's the third degree. And when he goes to the fourth degree of the scale, see, that's really outside of that D flat. That's outside of that D flat sound. It makes it sound like the dominant just with the one note, because it's kind of like the strongest, most dissonant note you could play. The other note of the tritone of the dominant is the major seventh of the scale, which isn't not nearly as dissonant. But the fourth, there's tunes like that, like Get Happy. Get Happy, I think is the name of that tune. But let's check out this Coltrane. This is in B flat now. Switch your mind to this key. And you're gonna be hearing him going. You're gonna hear him going between the D and the E flat. Mostly just that little passage right there. Okay, so I don't know if you see the connection, but that's what I hear happening there. That's the whole first A. You know, he's got this that thing, which is pretty cool. We didn't talk about what it means. I don't know if it means anything. But again, that when he goes there, you know, it's kind of a voice leading thing, leading you up to that note. Cool, you know, it's doing a lot with a very little bit, and this that's really a tease. That's like a tease of like what's going to happen, and something is definitely going to happen. And yet another crazy bridge is coming up, and that will be in the next episode. See you then. All right. Back. We are halfway through the Charlie Christian solo on Stompin' at the Savoy, and by halfway I mean at the bridge of the second chorus. Let's go back to the top, listen to it up to that point. That's going into the next chorus, so we won't cover that. But that's just kind of a pickup. But from the end of the bridge, I mean from the beginning of the bridge, that's where we got to last time. That was where I did the analogy with the Coltrane recording from 1960. So, what we got there? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Now, for the previous, on the previous bridge, he had started up here. Same note, but he didn't use the minor sixth shape. He used this. He was using this box shape, but here he starts, I believe, because he's much lower on the guitar, it sounds like to me. Check it out. Down there. I think that has to be down there. It could be here. I don't think so, though. That seems unlikely. Plus, here, instead of, before I had mentioned that when there's a fifth string root dominant, he's oftentimes using this shape, whereas if it's a sixth string root dominant, he's using this shape, minor six type of shape. So here, he's, instead of, on the G flat 7, instead of using this box shape up here, he can use a minor six shape down here, right? Like a C sharp minor six, right? Now he's sliding that tritone, similar to how he did here. Same idea, but reversed in a way, because he's going like this as opposed to, you know. Now remember how he did right here on the first bridge, he went up the E7 with that G sharp and came down with the flat to imply the, you know, the A7 sound, right? So here he goes. Same thing. I think so. Let me check it. Yeah, definitely. So this is la da 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 ya da la da 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 ya ha 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 ha. The D sharp to a D natural is implying the B7 going to an E7. Now this is a really hip phrase that comes after this. Check this out. But you didn't. Now we need to slow that down, really, to get it. You can hear the end of it. clearly. But what's happening right before that? Let's do half speed. So it's like, this is all on E7. He's playing around with this tritone, you know, the D to G sharp. Yeah, it's got to be down here. It could do it up here, but obviously it's no good. Right? You'd rather do it here. So here he's going, however you want to write that, I don't know. I think I wrote it like some sort of ornament or something, right? I wrote it as 16th. He's basically going, but he's also putting a hammer on to that, to the D when he comes back to it. So, right? So it's three different ways of dealing with the C sharp and the D. One is a sort of on and off ornament, and then one is a hammer-on, real fast hammer-on, and then one is a slow slur. It's almost ghosted. Listen to how soft that the D is. Right there. So, okay. So we've got. Interesting. He hadn't really played that before. So he goes, sorry. No, that we have heard before. Right down that E flat minor 6 again, which is for the A7. Now, remember he did before, he did, what was it? On the first bridge, so he went. Right, so he moved it down by a half step, but here he, in a way, he kind of moves it up. For A, he's, instead of playing the E minor 6 that he would normally do, he does it. He goes from the ninth or the second or whatever you want to call it, the B to the A, and does a kind of a, he hits an F very soft there. It's very clever because he, This major third, F to A, moves up a half step when it gets to the when he goes to outline the A flat 7. So he's going from the it's kind of a sharp 5 in the root up to this, which is the G flat B flat, which is like the flat 7 and the ninth. So it's kind of like a contrary motion, like it's kind of like. That's very hip. Okay, so. Okay, so that's what it sounds like. Slow, let's try it fast. Mm-hmm. It's not that easy, actually. Okay, how about that part right there? Now, this to me does sound like all downstrokes. On the previous episode, I was talking about this line, where I think it's kind of impossible to play that all with downstrokes, but this one, definitely all downstrokes. Bunch of downbeats. I mean, sorry, a bunch of upbeats. Now, what's up? It's not... that's like... See, it's not just... It's kind of like B flat minor. But if you listen to that closely, it's not just... There's a slide after that to give it some feeling. Let's listen to it slow. So clearly... playing the F up here, not here, because otherwise, I mean, you could do it this way too. It's possible that that's what it is, but I'm playing it here because of where he goes again, where he goes after his so he slides into that. My theory for this little section is that he's sliding between these two positions, and that's going to, it's kind of foreshadowing a thing he's going to do in the next chorus, which is moving around like in this area. He's getting ready to kind of do that type of thing. So this is... I'm sliding in with the second finger up to the leading tone. So, and that's where he has to end up there. That's why I'm saying it goes like that, as opposed to down here, because now he's already there. That's almost the same thing as what we've heard before. That's almost like what we heard in the first chorus. Some people will play that with the fourth finger. I'm playing it 3-3-2-1. All that with three fingers. The whole solo is three fingers. The way that I'm demonstrating it anyway. Again, the G flat minor sound going back to D flat is, you know, all over the place. So let's see if we can play this whole section. I'll put it a little slow, 80%. Oops, I wasn't ready. Again. Very hip. That's the end of the second chorus. All right, so we're getting there. We're getting to the final chorus. We'll start in on that on the next episode in this series. See you then. Well, that's it for today's episode. I hope you found it useful for your personal work. This podcast was produced by Ed Gavitt, with the original source being a video on Patreon. If you'd like to see this video, head on over to Patreon and search for Work with Miles Okazaki. If you go through a browser and sign up as a member, it's a very small fee. And if you like the convenience of the iOS app, it's just a little bit more. In any case, as a member, you have access to categories such as exercises for the guitar, things to download, things to practice, guided practice sessions where I practice and you play along, a category called the Language of Jazz where I go through standards and famous solos, transcriptions, listening sessions, and also a complete series on every composition by Thelonious Monk as it might be played on the guitar. I do detailed demonstration of material from my book Fundamentals of Guitar and have prepared special exercises and software even for members of the site. Every Sunday we sit down with some Bach, take a look at some violin sonatas, cello suites, inventions, well-tempered clavier, things like that. We work on sight reading. We work on listening, exercises to train your ear, exercises to train rhythmically off the instrument. And then as often as I can, I sit down and do a mailbag episode where I go through listener questions and answer them directly. We're having a lot of fun over there, and I really hope you can join us. And thanks for joining us today on this podcast version and for your support of creative music. See you next time.